Chapter 16, 2 Chronicles, beginning at the opening verse. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from thenceforth, thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices, prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, Canada. Thank you for joining with us here on the program, and I trust that the Lord will mightily bless, draw near, and minister to your own heart. I count it a great joy to bring the message of God's Word to you each day at this time on the station, wherever you may be listening, and I trust that you will be encouraged. I always like to invite my radio listeners to give me a call, send me an email, let me know that you're tuning in and benefiting from these programs. And of course, if you have a burden, a prayer request, or perhaps a longing for salvation, then I would be delighted to talk with you one-to-one. We'll get the email and the phone number right at the end of the program. But right now we're coming here to this message on King Asa, the man who went well for a time, but then he lost out. I trust that will not be our testimony, but rather that we will go on from strength to strength. So today we're going to look at some of the solemn lessons of a man, a king, who lost out.
It also cost him prayerlessness. And that again is a tragedy when that happens. You look at verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And so, even though he is a man now that has angered God and has lost the help of God, reduced to wars and fightings, reduced to ill health, he's got a hardened heart. He's got a prayerless heart. You would imagine that these troubles would have spoken to him, awakened him out of his folly, and brought him back into the place of blessing. You see, the prayerlessness really is Asa hitting rock bottom. He comes to the bottom rung on the ladder when he gets to the place where he can't pray. This is a tragedy for Asa. The man who back in chapter 14 is an example of prayer, who knew how to call on God, who got victory through prayer. But now he is reduced to a prayerless, sick man, without peace in his nation. He's the picture of an empty man's life. We would never want that to happen. Indeed, we ought to cry out to God, let this be a warning to me. Oh Lord, don't allow Asa's end to be the last chapter in my life. This mighty man, Asa, is a beacon to us all of the awful, terrible cost of not relying on the Lord. Now, our text last Sunday evening were the words of the Lord Jesus, where he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. That's the Lord whom we serve today. And he is ever saying to his people and to all who will come to him, whether they be laden with sin, whether they be laden with the cares of life, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to see if there be one that is strong on his behalf, to show himself strong in his behalf. And if we do not do that, oh, the cost, oh, the cost. So let this chapter, 2 Chronicles 16, be a warning beacon to you and me. Let this put up the warning signal that if we don't continue to lean on the Lord and rely on him and seek his face in prayer, that we may lose out so terribly. Now lastly, or thirdly, we come to the heart reliance that God desires. Way back now to chapter 14:11, there is no better model than you have of Asa in those earlier years. In chapter 14:11, we have this example. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So that is the reliance. That's the heart reliance that God is looking for. And you'll see that that prayer was full of faith. And a mighty God, it's nothing with thee. God is able. It made no difference how weak or strong Asa was. His God was mighty. It was to place full dependence on the Lord. We rest on thee. That's the reliance the Lord is looking from you and me today. And I wonder, does this describe how we are living our Christian lives? Truly, daily, relying and bringing every need to the Lord as to our walk with God. If you want a close walk with God, you've got to lean on Him. Man can't help you. Others can't do it for you. You've got to go and lean on the Lord Himself. When it comes to resisting temptation, fighting the battle against all kinds of vice and sin, are you leaning on the Lord? Are you telling the Lord you need help? Saying, Lord, it's nothing with Thee to help. We rest on Thee. When you're seeking to live a good testimony in a hostile world, and you think of the many that would want to bring you down, the many that would like to tarnish your testimony, are you leaning on the Lord to help you? Or as you would go witnessing the gospel, we've been looking at evangelism in our adult Sunday school for a few weeks, and we do endeavor this Saturday to do some evangelism, and we invite you along at 9:30. We plan to meet here at church. We're going to have some prayer, get ourselves organized to go out with literature and to evangelize, whether we do leaflet drops or speak to people, but try and get the message of the gospel out. And we invite you to come along, but we must not rest in man. We must not put confidence in our own abilities. We must rest in the help which the Lord Himself will give. Now, there are many, many examples in the Bible where, even in the New Testament, where the Lord came alongside and helped His people. And my favorite example, and I probably quoted so often here, the people who are asking me, do you not have any other illustrations in your heart to give? But you have the great example of the vine and the branches. And the Lord Jesus saying to the disciples, without me ye can do nothing. Abide in me, and I in you. And if my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And the Lord was teaching His disciples, those that were to go out and preach the gospel, He was telling them, you can't do it in your own strength. You can only do it by doing what these branches do. Draw their strength from the vine. Get all your resources from me. Depend upon me. And then in Ephesians 5, we have that chapter where you have husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, submit to your husbands. And children, obey your parents. And servants, obey your masters. But you know how that is prefaced in Ephesians 5:18? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because you can't be the husband you need to be. You can't be the wife you need to be. And boys and girls, you can't be the children in the home that you ought to be in a Christian home. And servants, workers, you can't obey your employer without being helped by the Spirit. That's the biblical teaching. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength. We can't do it in the resources of man. We need the Lord, and we need to rely upon Him continually. Now, let's come back to 2 Chronicles 16:9. I want you to notice something here. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart. Now, we're getting to the heart of the matter now. The kind of heart reliance God's looking for, whose heart is perfect toward Him. We're moving Godward here. Now, the word perfect means mature and single-minded. It doesn't mean perfection in the sense of saints in heaven are perfect. We are still yet in the flesh and in the body and limited. We're not yet perfect. But we should be single-minded, moving toward Him. Or as Peter put it, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Christian life ought to be looking like, growing. We are progressing. We're moving toward the Lord. And that's reliance. We want to trust Him more and more. Indeed, we lament that we don't trust Him as we should. And when we go to pray, we say, Lord, I confess that I tend to trust my own thinking. I tend to look to man. But Lord, give me the grace to put my eyes upon the Lord and trust in your help. Are you praying like that? Does that mark your prayer life? That's what God is looking for here in our service for Him. Now, the Lord Jesus preached this in the Sermon on the Mount, and He taught His disciples to, and the multitudes, in fact, not just the disciples. That Sermon on the Mount was preached to, at first to the disciples, but then the multitudes gathered, and He preached this to them all, that they were not to be anxious for the morrow. The morrow will take care of itself. And He taught them about even a little sparrow that falls, and God sees the fall of that sparrow. How much more shall not your heavenly Father care for you, who are of much greater value than a little sparrow? And the Lord Jesus taught, and He teaches us, to look to our heavenly Father in true reliance, true dependence. Now that's what reliance looks like. Are you asking the Lord to work that in your life? Or have you gone back to some kind of a default position and say, well, I'm safe here. I'm not really going into the ways of sin. I'm not really pressing to do much for God, but I'm in a safe spot. And maybe that's, you're kind of in your little bubble and your own private space as a Christian, and you're comfortable. You're happy enough. You're kind of satisfied in where you're at. That's what happened to Asa. That's what happened to Asa. And he got his eyes off the Lord. And he didn't call upon God with all his heart. That's a dangerous place to be. That is really dangerous. So Christian, you need to aim for God's favor in your life. You need to aim for His power, His presence, and His constant help to you. If there's anything that growing as a Christian looks like, it is learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to rely on the Lord as your helper. If that's not happening in your life, you're not growing. You're not developing into Christ-likeness. The life of the Lord Jesus was a life of constant communion with His Father. Everything He did was to please His Heavenly Father. And everything He did, He brought to the Father in prayer. That's the mark that should be there. Now, I've got a final closing thought here, and that is the response that God is looking for. You will note that God sent Hananiah the prophet, and before bringing wars against him, God nudged him by the words of Hananiah. He gave Asa an opportunity to see his folly, change his ways, and do the right. And you know, God always does that. Before God sends judgment, He sends His prophets. He sends His messengers to awaken and to warn and to call people to a repentance and return to God. Now, look at verse 10 and you'll see the response of Asa. How disappointing this is. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, that is Hanani, the prophet, and put him in a prison house. Can you imagine that? Here's a man with a very hardened heart. Here's a man who's not just got into a little comfort zone and not doing anything for God. Here's a man now that's become the enemy of God. God is speaking to him. God has a message for him, but he's rejecting the message. And he puts Hananiah in the prison house, and there he is. Now, that ought to be a very great concern to every professing Christian. He left God for so long that he was dead in heart. His spirit was not in tune with God, and his flesh had taken over his life. Could that happen to you and me? I think of texts in the New Testament that speak of this, where it says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1. To make shipwreck of your faith. That's what we see in Asa. He's a wreck. He came to ruin. Oh, he stands here in the Bible as a tremendous warning to every one of us. Asa knew the help of God in the past. So have we. We would be lying to say God has not helped us. We would be denying what God has done in the past for us in his service, in our testimony, in our walk for him. And for Asa, well, there's no telling of the heights that this man could have ended in if he had kept relying on the Lord. If he just kept doing what he did at first, there's no telling what God could have done with him. Now, whatever discouragements or attacks that you are facing, whatever a sense of disappointment that you face in the Christian life, there's just one message here for you. Keep leaning on the Lord. Don't stop leaning on the Lord. Whatever the problem is, whatever the bitterness, whatever the tears, whatever the emptiness you feel, don't stop leaning on the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on looking to the Lord to help and to keep you. And even if you have a million enemies like Asa, you can be the first to say, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, either with them that are many or them that have no power. Leaning on the Lord. Am I doing that? 35 years, my life lines up here with Asa in the years numbers. Am I still leaning on the Lord? There's a danger. There's a danger that we start resting on the past, or that we rest on we're not doing badly. I suppose the question is, are we satisfied? If we're totally satisfied, then we're not leaning. But if we are yearning for blessing and progress and growth and an extension to the Lord's kingdom, then we need to rely, and rest on him. If you're not a Christian today, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, can you see what being a Christian is? If you would be even interested in becoming a Christian, what is it you're doing? You're going to bring your sins to Jesus. You're going to cast all your sins on him. You're going to cast your new life, your new walk, strength for each day, victory over sin in the world. You're going to come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, you must do this in my life. That's the cry of a sinner coming to Jesus. You're not just coming to be made happy. You're coming to be made holy. You're coming to be given a new heart and given spiritual power by the indwelling of the Spirit to live a new life. And the Lord can do it, but just keep leaning on the Lord Jesus.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and yes, we can each testify the Lord hath done great things for us, and he has heard our cries many times to deliver us out of trouble. Think back, my friend, and do not forget how the Lord has come through and delivered you from many times of trial, and surely he will do so again. So don't fall into the trap of prayerlessness, that it is of no use, but rather stir up your heart and call upon the Lord to be your Savior. Think of that verse, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Or as in Psalm 65, O God, thou that hearest prayer, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and calleth upon his name. And so you can be that blessed man, but you can only do so by turning again in prayer to the Lord. And that means just getting the Bible, opening up those scriptures that you know, and pray over them. Pray those words back to God and ask him to come to your heart to revive your soul anew. And I assure you that God in grace and in love will not cast you away, but he will receive you and bless you abundantly. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Now we're coming to the announcements. Make sure that you're ready to give me a call if I can be of help. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.